time. Consider it a privilege to work with your children. My wife and I have considered it a privilege to have worked with your children the past several years. And it's an honor. It really is. When you consider what children are and what they, you know, what they really are. The Bible says we're spirit, soul, and body. And we just see the bodies usually, and we forget about the other parts. We forget about the souls. We forget about the spirits that children have. And I'd like to say some things in that regard this evening. Now, if you excuse me, I'm going to go out and get a prop. Just give me a second. Before this point, but this is a compound bow, and I'll be making some illustrations on arrows this evening. And that is a real weapon. You can use it for home invasion. Does you offer me a cord? Yeah, I'll take that, brother.
Okay. And as I said, that is a real weapon, and it's not a toy. I removed the field points for safety, and this is on.
Like it's on. There it is. And a bow, it was the primary weapon of choice for a soldier in the field in times of the Bible. And it was used with arrows, the bow and the arrows. Now, look at Psalm 127 if you have your Bible. This is Bible time. So look at Psalm 127. Just a short verse to start. The Bible says, as arrows are in the hand of a mighty man, so are children of the youth. Psalm 127, verse 4. And the soldier, the mighty man, is known through his interaction with these arrows. We are able to grasp this description of the mighty man through his interaction with his arrows. Like the fabled Robin Hood and William Tell, he is known through his arrows. Those men were just men. And what made them of renown and of fame was how they used those arrows, right? And we still have a few expert archers in these days that can shoot a mark from I don't know how many meters away. I'm not a professional archer. I just fool around with it. But first of all, a skilled archer must have intention regarding his arrows. Do you intend to bring up your children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord? That's a good intention. I hope you have that. Do you intend for them to be faithful children, not accused of riot or unruly? Do you intend to bring them up in love and not with a cruel rod of anger, lest they be discouraged? I hope you intend these things. You do well to have worthy intentions, but success in a flying arrow lies not only in a desire for the target struck, but also in inspection of the archer himself and of his arrows. The pitiful age in which we live as the Laodicean church is characteristically the church that is unresolved, unconvinced, unaware. Inspection speaks to an admission of the possibility of imperfection, of weakness, in some form coming short of the mark. The archer must examine himself and his arrows upon the hearth of his own home when he is not yet on the battlefield. When you're on the battlefield, the arrows must be ready for use. An honest home inspection might reveal an unfit archer. An archer having untrained, undisciplined, and slack hands is nothing more than an illusion to those with whom he would fight or to those whom he would save. The Bible says in Proverbs chapter 10, verse 4, he becometh poor that dealeth with a slack hand. All the good intentions in the world are vain without the effort to prepare yourself and make yourself a fit archer. Too many times we'd like a certain set of results. We like what we've seen in other families, perhaps, but are not willing to put in the time and make the time to provide those results. The Bible says concerning the virtuous woman in Proverbs 31 that she eateth not the bread of idleness. The Bible says in Ecclesiastes, through idleness of the hands, the house droppeth through. What condition is your house in this evening? I say these things out of Christian love and as a fellow man and parent in the Lord. And it's from idleness of the hands that your house will drop through, not from any adverse circumstances. It's the responsibility lies with you, husband and wife, father and mother. There once lived in a far-off kingdom a great and wise observer. He took a long walk one day, and upon his return he said, I went by the field of the slothful, and by the vineyard of the man void of understanding, and it was covered over with thorns, and the nettles had covered the face thereof, and the stone wall was broken down. And King Solomon said, I considered it well, and I received instruction. And he said, yet a little sleep, a little slumber, small oversights, small lapses. So shall thy poverty come as one that traveleth, and thy want as an armed man. A man walking, it might take him a while, but he'll get there. One's physical property might be trimmed and in excellent shape, but his spiritual property might appear like a jungle. Appearances can be deceiving, they say, and an appearance of responsibility will not hide an unrestrained child. If blame could be found in the flight of an arrow or of it hitting the mark, all eyes would not fall to the arrow. They would fall to the unexamined archer. The two sons of Eli committed sinful atrocities in Israel, if you might recall. If you are not familiar with the story, you can look in 1 Samuel chapter 2. And at first glance, it seems as if the sons were to blame, for they were slain for their sins. But upon further inspection, we see that the archer himself, their father, Eli, was to be blamed. He had dealt with a slack hand. The Bible says in 1 Samuel chapter 2 that the sons hearken not unto the voice of their father because the Lord would slay them. And the Lord sent a man to Eli, a man of God, that said, you are honoring your sons above me, the prophet said. And the Lord said, them that honor me will I honor, and they that despise me shall be lightly esteemed. And the Bible says, this shall be a sign unto thee, in one day your two sons are going to die. One day. And the Bible says in 1 Samuel chapter 2 that he had not restrained his sons. He had not restrained his sons. It won't do to pass blame to anyone or anything other than yourself. Right now, they are still in your hands. These children that we've been working with for the past few years and will continue to do so, they're still in your hands. They're your responsibility. There is children right now, your offspring, the fruit of your wombs and yourselves. In the great eternity that lies ahead of us, they will be souls. Won't be children anymore. They won't be your property. They won't be under your roof. They're going to be souls. And their fingers will be pointing at your hands, whether they were employed for their improvement or were slack and failed to move for their restraint. A skilled archer is not only responsible to examine himself, but also to know the condition of his arrows. Now, like I said, I removed the tip. This is a carbon arrow. And before I let it fly, I need to check the tip, make sure it's not cracked, make sure the fins are in good shape or the feathers. And once that arrow is released, there's no turning back. There's no turning back with that arrow. You need to examine the arrows. The Bible says in Proverbs 27, be thou diligent to know the state of thy flocks and look well to thy herds. Do you know what shape your home is in today? I'm not talking about your roof and your garage. In what condition are your arrows? Blunt, split, and otherwise defective arrows will be ineffective arrows. They will have no, and on the contrary, may even injure others or injure the archer himself. Think about that. The time will come when the call will be made, as it says in Psalm 21, make ready thine arrows upon thy strings. Get them ready. Get them ready to release. And now I'm going to demonstrate. I'm going to, let's see here. What's the right way here? What's the right way here? No, I'm not here to shoot. Trust me. Let's see here. This way. Okay. And this is the loop on the string. Now, this is very powerful. And it takes about 50 pounds of strength to pull this open. Now, there's no arrow on here. Don't freak out, okay? Pull back. And once I'm in this place, and the arrow's on the string, knocked, and I'm on the target, I've already inspected. It's ready to release. And all I got to do is flick my finger. The moment before an arrow is released is the last moment the archer will ever have that arrow in his control. At that point, all inspection and preparation must have already been completed. The release will be effortless. A flick of the finger. It's not the release. It's what's been done up to that point. That's important. I would hope that arrow had been fully prepared for its flight. The arrows an archer carries in its quiver may never be free of defects or blemishes. It is his responsibility to make the necessary reparations to that arrow in order to give it the best chance of it hitting the mark. Perfection is not the archer's key. It is correction. It's not perfection. Are you restraining? Like the prudent man, a skilled archer must foresee the evil and hide himself. Most errors committed are not ones of commission, but of omission. Why are preferences and choices left to children who have limited awareness of future consequences? If they were inclined to carry about a sharp object that could injure them, would you give them that allowance? And yet certain games you let them play, certain images you allow them to rest their eyes on, certain words you allow them to repeat are sharp razors on their souls. You can't see it, but they're bleeding out their innocency and tenderness toward the Lord. They might have had some good thing toward the Lord God of Israel, like young Abijah, who the Lord took home to himself on account of his parents' idolatry and indolence. Some, like Jacob of old, are deprived prematurely of their children's lives. Others willingly hand over the souls of their children to the merchants of this world, who will bring them into Egypt and into future slavery. Like the blood of Abel, their voices will accuse you in the darkness. There are two blights in our Christian families, and I mean this, and I've been watching it. I grew up in a Christian home. One is a trademark of first-generation Christians, the other of second-generation Christians. And if you are not saved or newly saved, you might not know what this means. We can explain later, some other point. The tendency of first-generation Christian parents is to rule through fear. Now, all you that grew up in Christian homes, you can relate word for word. And if you didn't, then you may be able to sort of grasp. The tendency of first-generation Christian parents is to rule through fear, as the consequences of sin are still vivid and firsthand. The second generations is a ruling. Now, pay attention, because most of us are this, in this lot. The second generations is a ruling in which healthy fear is scorned and scandalized. And in its place, an emotion is substituted, one which seeks to shelter its children from any hardship and from painful physical consequences of their actions. This emotion is erroneously called love. In archery, certain elements are always there, present, regardless of the degree or quality of the arrows. You might have the finest arrows. You might have done everything that you can. But there are certain elements that are always present. As a result of these adverse circumstances, the archer must aim higher than the target itself or in an ulterior direction in order to compensate for these factors. Snipers do this. They have to dial in for the wind and the distance and terrain and the slope and all that stuff. First of all, gravity. We have gravity. Three factors. Gravity will cause a downward flight path of the arrow. So a child's natural sinful nature will invariably pull them in that downward slope. Proverbs 15 says, the way of life is above to the wise, that he may depart from hell. Wind can quickly set a straight-flying arrow off its course. Like a skilled archer, you must be aware and take action against a wind which might blow even softly, as it did against the ship on which Paul was a prisoner. Such a wind as that did will certainly return to threaten as a tempestuous wind. What seems harmless, what seems excusable, allowable as Christian parents, you are the filter. You are the last, you are the gate, you are the door to your family. The church is not the safety net. Terrain is a factor unable to be avoided. That's the third element. And any rises and obstacles must be accounted for. So the cares and troubles of this life, which of due course will present themselves in your child's growth, must be recognized and overcome. Train them to see an obstacle, a challenge, and to overcome it. In closing, I'd like to say you cannot give your children something that you don't have. If you live in defeat, you cannot expect them to live in victory. If your spiritual life is dry, you cannot expect theirs to be well watered. When a Christian forsakes the fountain of living waters and in compromise to the world hews out broken cisterns that can hold no water, he hands those same vessels to his children. The Bible says in Jeremiah 14, the nobles sent their young ones to the waters. They came to the pits and found no water. They returned with their vessels empty. They were ashamed and confounded and covered their heads. Young children ashamed. Turn to Psalm 127 if you're not there yet. Just a couple more minutes and I'll be done. We have a lot more here planned for the night. Jesus said, it's impossible but that offenses will come, but woe unto him through whom they come. He says it's better for a millstone to be hung about his neck and he cast into the sea than that he should offend one of these little ones. Psalm 127, verse 5. I just read you a scripture about the young ones coming back from the wells where no water is. Their parents sent them to those wells that were empty, and those children were ashamed. Psalm 127, 5 says, happy is the man that hath his quiver full of them. The quiver is the attachment on a bow or on the archer's back that holds the arrows. Happy is the man that hath his quiver full of them, of the mighty man. They, the children, shall not be ashamed, but they shall speak with the enemies in the gate. As sure as you are alive this evening, at some point the enemy will come to rail on your children. They won't be your children forever. I mean, you know what I mean. It may come when they are standing in a crowd of friends. The enemy might come. Or he may come in the secret of their own room. When he does, will they be able to stand and, like the young lad, David, speak to defend their Lord God? Without your intention, your inspection, your preparation, they won't even have a fighting chance. Now, we'll close with this scripture here, Psalm 128, the next psalm. Blessed is everyone that feareth the Lord, that walketh in his ways. Can it really be that easy? Is that really the cure? Yep, it is. You need to fear the Lord. The Lord is holy. He rewards every man according to his works. And you might not see an effect in your own life, but you'll sow something in your life and you'll reap it in your child's. Blessed is everyone that feareth the Lord, that walketh in his ways. That's a cliche. Walk with the Lord, walk in his ways. You know that affects the things that you do at home, around your children, how you speak. For thou shalt eat the labor of thine hands. Happy shalt thou be, and it shall be well with thee. Thy wife shall be as a fruitful vine by the sides of thine house. Thy children like olive plants round about thy table. Behold, that thus shall the man be blessed that feareth the Lord. The Lord shall bless thee out of Zion, and thou shalt see the good of Jerusalem all the days of thy life. Now, wouldn't you like this right here in the last verse? Yea, thou shalt see thy children's children, and peace upon Israel. Not just upon the physical Israel, but upon the Israel of God, upon the people of God. That's the only way to continue what we have here tonight. And we say, the children are the next, are the future of the church. That's true. But may I propose to you that the secret of the church lies with you and with me as parents? It doesn't lie in our children. There's not a seed of righteousness in our children, but that we will not instill in them. It lies with you. The future of this church lies with me and with you. Now, if you knew that tomorrow would be the last moment that you had with your children, with your child, to teach him, to love him, train him, restrain him, tomorrow was the last day you ever have with them, with her, what would you do differently? All right, that's all. I'm finished. Brother Mike.